talk about a thought that's been on my mind a little bit lately. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 6. I'm sorry, there is no 1 Peter chapter 6. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's try that. Maybe I should have just let you try to find it. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll start at verse 6. Everybody staying warm enough? Everybody thankful you're not in the Midwest right now? Amen. Been hearing some crazy temperatures back there. Highs, and the high of the day was negative 15, something like that. You can keep it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." In verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Back up one more time to verse 6 just to read it again since it's so short. "Humble yourselves," in verse 6, "therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Humble yourselves before under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want to talk about casting cares. Cares come in a myriad of shapes and sizes. We experience cares from time to time, and they approach us from different points in our lives. Different stages in our lives will enter different seasons that will bring on different responsibilities. And we can find ourselves responsible for things. We can find ourselves owning things. Owning is kind of a buzzword, I guess, in the I don't know, the corporate world. You hear a manager often say, "Own it. All right, I want you to take this project. I want you to own it. I want you to follow it through to completion." And what they mean is, I want you to care about it. I want you to own it. I want you to put your name on it. I want you to take ownership and put your stamp on it. And what that means is that you'll put your best effort into it. You'll put forth your best your best time, your best energies, your best focus, and you'll own it. I think I talked about this before. The difference between ownership and rentals. When you own something versus renting something, you're probably more likely to take care of it if you know you're going to be stuck with it at the end of the day. You hear those horror stories about buying a used rental car. It was on a rental lot, and although it only had 30,000 miles on it, it might have been 100,000 just because of the way it was used, the way it was run. But ownership makes you care. It gives you some level of responsibility. Stress. Anybody ever felt stress before? Nobody? Just a couple? Well, I need to hang out with you more often. I guess that's just all there is to it. There's all kinds of stresses, right? Things that put pressure on us, expectations. Anybody been stressed out from their job before? Anybody ever had a manager that put stress on them? It seems like in my life, stress is usually comes from work. I work for an airplane company, and when you're building a product that is very expensive, and your job is to procure the parts and make sure that everything runs smoothly and everybody gets their parts on time, when that doesn't happen and things get elevated and you have directors and vice presidents calling you and your boss saying, hey, where's my airplane parts? I have a $80 million or a $300 million airplane to deliver, and I can't do that unless you send me some airplane parts. That gets me stressed out. You find yourself, I wouldn't recommend that on the list of how to win friends and influence people. You won't be on people's Christmas card list by doing that. But things like that, we all have different things that stress us. And the funny thing about stress is a lot of times it has to do with perspective. What stresses one person out in comparison to another person, they would look at that individual and say, really? You're going to stress out about that? Anybody ever heard the saying, oh man, that's just the worst. That's just absolute worst. That's horrible. It's got to be the worst. Well, I know we like to use hyperbole and accentuate words a little bit, but what's truly stressful? You know, when you put it in perspective, sometimes you think, man, I've had a horrible day, and you go home, and you talk to someone that had a completely different day, and you start comparing notes a little bit. You know, my day wasn't too bad. Actually, it was just a matter of my perspective. I just had to change the way I looked at it a little bit. But stress, it's a care. It's things that we care about. You wouldn't have a care if you didn't, another term for taking care of is love, right? If you love something or if you love someone, that means you're taking care. You're giving forth care, putting forth care for that situation. But here we're seen as a clear instruction that we're to cast our cares upon the Lord. In other words, we're not supposed to necessarily carry the weight of the world and all those cares, those things that drag us down, the things that weigh on us and weigh on our minds. There's an outlet here. It's saying you don't have to carry those things. You can cast them upon Him. There's a way out. There's a relief valve. There's a place that you can take those things and get rid of them. You can cast them upon Him because why? Because He cares for you. He loves you. He cares about you. And what this tells me is His shoulders are so much bigger than mine. God's got a pretty big job. He's got to care for everybody. He's got to care for everything. He knows the ins and outs of everybody, all 7 billion of us on the earth. That's a pretty big job. And he says, cast your cares on me. Now, we like to take the word cast and put our own little spin on it. And for me, I'm a fisherman. I love to be out there fishing as much as I can, which isn't as often as I'd like, but I like to fish. I like to be outside in the outdoors and on the water, whether that's a lake or a stream or not much on the ocean, but I just like to be fishing. But the great part of fishing is you get to cast. And in this cast process, you're not completely throwing your lure, your bait out into the water and just letting it go. You throw it out there, and then you retrieve it back. You cast it out there. You give it as far as you can throw it. And then you start reeling it in, reeling it in. That's not the kind of cast the Lord's talking about here. If we're to cast, this is literally when you go into the the Greek here, it's pretty obvious it means what it means to cast, to throw something. Anybody like pitching stuff, pitching rocks, pitching baseballs, anything? I just like throwing stuff. I'm weird like that. I've always grown up throwing stuff. Always, growing up in the countryside with acreage, we boys running around playing games, throwing stuff. That's what we did. Threw stuff at stuff, sometimes each other. But if you're going to cast something, or in this sense, you're casting it upon. It means you're putting separation between the object you're throwing and yourself. You're getting this thing as far away as you can throw it. You're creating this divide between the care in this sense and you. That's biblical. We have to be careful that we're not in this constant cast and retrieve mindset. We can be really good at finding an altar maybe once or twice a week and letting God just transform our minds and take this load off that we're carrying, and then we walk out the door and we start the process of cranking that reel. And then we wake up Monday, Tuesday, and we're back to the same stuff. Where'd this come from? What? Why am I fighting these same battles I was fighting last week? All right, moving on. The next cast. How many tech people do we have in the building? One in the back, I know that. All right, there's a few. I'm not very tech savvy. I try to fake it at work, and it doesn't usually bode well. But thankfully, I have some great support groups around me, and I can ask some smart people for help. But a popular thing in today's society or today's culture is to cast something. And in that sense, it means to broadcast or to webcast. And what that means is you're projecting. You're taking something that was small or in one place, and you're multiplying it over however many different platforms are receiving your broadcast. So you're taking something and magnifying it and multiplying it by as many as want to receive it. Sometimes we can take this outlook in this scripture, rather than cast it, get it away from us, get separation between us and the issue, we want to throw it out there. We want to broadcast it. Well, I'm having this issue. I'm having these cares. I just don't know what to do. Well, let's put it on social media. Maybe that'll fix it. I'm casting my cares here. Let's just get it out there. Maybe somebody will have a good idea. Maybe somebody will give me a way to fix it, some kind of solutions. We're trying to have fun with this, okay? But this is real. This is a real thing. We have to remember that we're casting our cares upon Him. Yes, we are to share each other's burdens. That's scripture. We're to bear each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. We're to be there for our brothers and sisters in Christ. But why would you want to pass on a burden to someone else when there's Almighty God just standing there saying, bring it on, throw it to me? When you have the enormity of God and all that He is, all this strength and power and faithfulness and love and all that He is, that would be a waste not to utilize that resource. All right, next one. We're going to play on words a little bit. Anybody familiar with a cast, C-A-S-T-E? So my understanding of a caste is, I believe, mostly in Hindu culture, in and around India mainly. But a caste system is a structure based on your family, and based on your genetics and your, you know, who you're related to. So you end up being in this class or social economic class simply because you were born there, simply because that's what your last name is, and that's what we do because we're so-and-sos. We can find ourselves with cares that we think are just there forever. We're experiencing these cares because they've just always been there. We've always experienced them in our lives. Our parents always experienced them. They were just a part of us, a part of our lives, and to an extent we may not know any better. But we have to be careful that we don't conform ourselves to a caste system in the body of Christ. God doesn't, you know, there's a lot of teaching, and we won't go into depth of it tonight, but, you know, about the judgment of the fathers upon the sons, and, you know, generations and whatnot, generational curses. Those things don't have to be. When you encounter the power of God and his love and his desire to lead you and to direct you, to order your steps, there's no set problems that are too great just because that's all your family's ever known. There's no problem too great for God. There's no care that's too great that it can't be cast off from us, and he can't relieve us of these things that have been passed down from generations. If we'll seek him, if we'll submit ourselves to him, if we'll allow him to take these things from us, and I think that's often the big problem is we just don't let him take these things. We just want to hold on to them. We kind of get comfortable in our cares. It's kind of an oxymoron. It's a pain and something that's causing you grief, but at the same time, you're comfortable with it, because you've lived with it for so long. And to detach yourself from that care and to separate yourself from that mindset at times could be uncomfortable, simply because we're unfamiliar. Which leads me to the next cast. Anybody broke a bone before? Anybody broke a leg? Arms? Yeah. Those Tolbert boys. What happens when you break a limb? It hurts, yes. They have to stabilize it, right? So they generally splint it and you set it, make sure the bone is set properly, and so that can heal, that can mend. And then they put this cast around it. They take this hurt area of your body that's been broken, and they put this hardened cast around the outside, the exterior, so that it will protect you from getting bumped or getting offset, getting set out of place again, because it's so tender, so vulnerable, and so sensitive that it'll create so much pain if it's ever bumped. We can find ourselves in our cares, in our hurts, in our struggles. We can find ourselves build up this external shell around us. We can find ourselves trying to push everything else out, just trying to hunker down and just be safe, be protected, and put up this hardened exterior so that we won't be hurt anymore. That's not the kind of cast the Lord wants us to do. Again, he's so ready, he's so willing, he's so ready with his arms open. He says, cast your cares on me. I want to take one more spin through this scripture here. Let's actually back up to verse 2. Verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to read this in full context. The elders which are among you, I exhort. Who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Who's he talking to? The elders. Leadership. And then moving on, verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. So it's talking about humility in verse... we'll keep going. And when the chief shepherd, verse 4, the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Read that again. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, that's Jesus, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. I'm going to read that again. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older or elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. In verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. See, we just read through this structure and pattern that God is laying out. He's instructing his people to dwell in humility, to dwell in submission one to another, to dwell in this place of unity in this place. But in the next verse, it says that he might exalt you in due time. That tells me he's seeing some people trying to exalt themselves. And he's saying, guys, the way to be exalted isn't to try to exalt yourselves. You're going about it all wrong. If you try to exalt yourselves, that's going to completely annul the previous three verses where it's talking about humility and submission. And then in verse 7, but casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. To me, I think this is one of the biggest cares that we carry, is the care about what other people think of us. The greatest care is often our reputation, our image, how we're perceived. What do you think about me? And if we're abased in our own eyes, then that doesn't matter as much anymore. If we humble ourselves and we're willing to submit one to another, we won't necessarily care about our image as much anymore. We won't care necessarily about being the talk of the town or what people build us up to be. But it's saying if we'll humble ourselves and cast that care upon God, if we'll cast our reputation upon him, if we'll cast that care upon him, that all of a sudden that opens up such a great door for us. Think of all you could do, all you could accomplish if half of your life wasn't revolving around impressing people. Think about that. It all comes down to perspective. I want to have the perspective of the Lord in my life. I have to have His mind in me. I have to be led of Him. I have to surrender of myself, of my will, and of my thoughts. I have to surrender my cares. I have to surrender those very responsibilities that He's placed on me. There are things in this life that God has placed on me, and He still expects me to submit that to Him and cast it to Him. He puts things and puts doors before us that we can walk through, the opportunities to walk in, and giftings and callings of God to operate in. And sometimes those comes with cares. But if we're willing to cast them to Him, if we're willing to let go of all ownership and just say, God, this is all Your kingdom. Everything that You've given me is just a temporary, I'm just a steward over it for a very short time. It all belongs to You anyway. If we get out of the ownership mentality and view ourselves as truly stewards over the things He's placed in our hands, that will open the door for so much more for God to do in and through us. Let's stand tonight. Would you talk to the Lord tonight? In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hilabato shikata bahai. Hilabato liyata baha. I cast my cares upon You, Jesus. I surrender those things right now, God. Hallelujah. I surrender to You right now, Jesus. Hilabato kashata bahai. Let there be nothing in my spirit, God, that would be unsurrendered to You. Let there be no desire or plan in my life, God, that isn't surrendered to You. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank You for Your love, Jesus. I thank You for Your love tonight, God. Hallelujah. Hilamando shikalabahasai. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I surrender all to You, Lord. I surrender all to You, Jesus. I surrender my past to You, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I surrender to Your grace tonight, Jesus. Hilabando hoshikalabasa. Let Your grace overtake me, God. Let Your grace overtake my weakness, Jesus. Overtake my shortcomings, God. I surrender them to You right now. Hilabando shikalabasahai. Imatayo shilamana. Anybody remember that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will go strangely dim. It's all about perspective. What we view, what we're looking at. Somebody help me sing that. Eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things in the light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. God bless you. Have a great rest.